one of the things that we today face all over the world is this kind of wicked world syndrome, a serious negativity bias. So how do we overcome such strong sort of prejudice and bias, especially taking a more secular universal approach rather than going in a very narrow Buddhist way?
Yeah, that's very important. The wicked world syndrome is very simple, and it's related to the banality of goodness. I love this word. You know, Anna Arendt spoke of the banality of evil, speaking of Adolf Eichmann and some of the Nazis, because they seem to be ordinary people working in office and they commit the most terrible atrocities. But the banality of goodness is that most of the time, most of 7 billion human beings behave decently with each other. And we don't notice because that's what is the baseline, that's what we are. When you come out of a train or a plane or a meeting hall, you don't congratulate yourself because people didn't kill each other on the plane. No, this is normal. If two people start fighting, you say, wow, two people start to fight in the plane. Everybody will speak about that. If 100 people help some elderly somewhere, it won't be in the 8 o'clock TV news. If one of them attacks an old lady in the street, you, sir, you have your hour of glory. So because it is deviant, we speak all the time. And because there's always something happening and the media like those things, we're attracted somehow because it's a potential danger. That's the wicked world syndrome. But scientifically, there's absolutely no base for this idea of universal selfishness. It's like what has been called armchair science. All the evidence, and the great psychologist friend of mine, Daniel Batson, spent 20 years with his team devising so many types of ingenious experimental setting to show that if you were giving the possibility of people, for people to behave in a selfish way, having an easy escape and so forth, they'll get out of their way without reward, without being praised. I mean, I'll spare you the details. He spent 20, 30 years doing that to actually do something that they were motivated for the good of the person. So that's genuine altruism. And he said the selfish hypothesis so far doesn't stand to experiment. So that's very important because in a way you could say that those basic good human qualities, fundamental human qualities that makes a good human being, that's the idea of secular ethics that Sonsi Dalai Lama is proposing. Basic fundamental human qualities out of which compassion and altruism are the most needed in our world. Those are much more attuned to our true nature. And we could say that somehow, to relate to our initial topic, they are sort of the glow of the Buddha nature. If the Buddha nature wasn't there, this would not happen. It's a little bit like, you know, you don't see the sun, but it still lights up the world through the clouds, even though you don't see the sun. So somehow it's the glow of it. And this is very interestingly shown in very young children, because you would say, you know, if as Freud was thinking that the little children are selfish brutes, but when they are 5 years old, and they see how the social work, they see that it maybe it's better to pretend to behave nicely that we can get along and fulfill our self-interest. So just more like a calculus than anything else. This has been shown to be completely wrong. All the studies done with very young infants from 1 to 4 years old, done by people like Warnecken and Tomasello at the Max Planck in Germany and other places, show that first they are unconditional cooperators. You know, if an experimenter drops something and is standing on the stool and the kids are playing in the room, even 2 years old, they stop playing and they come and pick it up to give it to that guy. So this is 90%. And now also, young kids prefer people who behave nicely to each other, not to them. Now you show them two kinds of puppet. One puppet is trying to open a box, and the second one said the blue puppet comes and helps to open the box. Then later on, the second puppet comes, the red puppet, and instead of helping, it sort of slammed back the box. Now another experimenter showed those two puppets to the 1 year old toddlers. 95% pick up the nice one. So there is an innate propensity to appreciate goodness, to express goodness, to cooperate. So we can become psychopaths, commit mass murder, genocide. Yes, absolutely. But the predisposition is stronger towards pro-social behavior, towards kindness. And that's why we call it the basic goodness or the banality of goodness. And that's why we are shocked when something terrible happens. Otherwise, we will not speak about it. But because everyone speaks about it, then we think the world is bad, human nature is bad. Overexposure of the media, who shows only those things because somehow, you know, it's a potential danger. So we need to pay attention, but we don't pay attention to the goodness that is there.